Chapter 2. The dog and I went to my grave. Graceland Cemetery is famous. You can look it up in just about any Chicago tour book, or God knows, probably on the internet. It's the largest cemetery in town, and one of the oldest. There are walls, substantial ones, all the way around, and it has far more than its share of ghost stories and attendant shades. The graves inside range from simple plots with simple headstones to life-size replicas of Greek temples, Egyptian obelisks, mammoth statues, even a pyramid. It's the Las Vegas of boneyards, and my grave is in it. The cemetery isn't open after dark. Most aren't, and there's a reason for it. Everybody knows the reason, and nobody talks about it. It isn't because there are dead people in there. It's because there are not quite dead people in there. Ghosts and shadows linger in graveyards more than anywhere else, especially in the older cities of the country, where the oldest, biggest cemeteries are right there in the middle of town. That's why people build walls around graveyards, even if they're only 2 feet high, not to keep people out, but to keep other things in. Walls can have a kind of power in the spirit world. And the walls around graveyards are almost always filled with the unspoken intent of keeping the living and the unliving seated at different sections of the community dinner table. The gates were locked, and there was an attendant in a small building, too solid to be called a shack and too small to be called anything else. But I'd been there a few times, and I knew several ways to get in and out after dark if need be. There was a portion of the fence in the northeast corner where a road construction crew just outside had left a large mound of gravel, and it sloped far enough up the wall that even a man with one good hand and a large and ungainly dog could reach the top. We went in, Mouse and I. Mouse might have been large, but he was barely more than a puppy, and he still had paws that looked too big for his lean frame. The dog had been built on the scale of those statues outside Chinese restaurants, though, broad-chested and powerful, with that same mountainous strength built into his muzzle. His coat was a dark and almost uniform gray, marked on the tips of his fuzzy ears, his tail, and his lower legs with solid black. He looked a little gangly and clumsy now, but after a few more months of adding on muscle, he was going to be a real monster. And damned if I minded the company of my own personal monster going to meet a vampire over my grave. I found it, not far from a rather famous grave of a little girl named Inez, who died a century before. The little girl's grave had a statue mounted on it. I'd seen it often, and it looked mostly like Carol's original Alice, a cherub in a prim and proper Victorian dress. Supposedly, the child's ghost would occasionally animate the statue and run and play among the graves in the neighborhoods near the graveyard. I'd never seen her myself. But hey, the statue was missing. My grave is one of the more humble ones there. It's standing open, too. The vampire noble who bought it for me had set it up to be that way. She'd gotten me a coffin on permanent standby, too. Sort of like the president gets Air Force One, only a little more morbid, Dead Force One. My headstone is simple white marble, a vertical stone, but it's engraved in bold letters inlaid with gold, Harry Dresden, then a gold inlaid pentacle, a five-pointed star surrounded by a circle, the symbol of the forces of magic contained within mortal will. Underneath it are more letters. He died doing the right thing. It's a sobering sort of place to visit. I mean, we're all going to die. We know that on an intellectual level. We figure it out sometime when we're still fairly young, and it scares us so badly that we convince ourselves we're immortal for more than a decade afterward. Death isn't something anyone likes to think about, but the fact is that you can't get out of it. No matter what you do, how much you exercise, how religiously you diet, or meditate or pray, or how much money you donate to your church, there is a single hard, cold fact that faces everyone on earth. One day, it's going to be over. One day the sun will rise, the world will turn, people will go about their daily routines. Only you won't be in it. you'll be still and cold. And despite every religious faith, the testimony of near-death eyewitnesses, and the imaginations of storytellers throughout history, death remains the ultimate mystery. No one truly, definitively knows what happens after, and that's assuming there is an after. We all go there blind to whatever is out there in the darkness beyond. Death. You can't escape it. You will die. That's a bitter, hideously concrete fact to endure. But believe me, you get it in a whole new range of color and texture when you face it standing over your own open grave. I stood there among silent headstones and memorials, both sober and outrageous, and the late October moon shone down on me.